11 players on one side, 11 players on the other side. A big piece of grass, a couple of goals and one ball. The aim of the game is to score the most goals in those big looking holes guarded by glove trolls.
He shoots, he scores, scoring the goals.
Yes, hello, welcome along to the Football League podcast. We're going to look ahead to the Championship teams in action in the FA Cup this weekend as we move on to the third round. And joining me on the line to look ahead to the action is Mr. Pete Farries. How are you, Pete?
Hello, fine, thank you, Mark. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Yeah, we've got the some old Championship teams, haven't we? There's some games, of course. I'm thinking Millwall, who could be weak at 23-20. I think Bradford are interesting at 5-2. You know, we've got quite a few games, obviously, going on elsewhere of the Championship sides against non-Championship. But we've looked mainly at the old Championship ties, haven't we?
Yes. And it's good, is the FA Cup third round. I mean, we're looking at the old Championship ties, so there's not really room for a fairy tale story in there, but it's always magical, isn't it, the FA Cup third round? Do you still see the magic there yourself?
Yeah, I do. Well, I mean, straight after recording this, I cover Chesterfield games, for those who don't know, and straight after this, I'm going to Milton Keynes to do the second round tie for a second time. And the magic of the FA Cup certainly isn't lost on me, as much as it's a game that MK Dons haven't wanted and Chesterfield haven't wanted. You know, for what I think is most interesting is that still a lot of people, you know, they want to progress in the FA Cup. They want to carry on. They want to go through. So the magic is, I still very much feel it until basically all of the Championship and League One teams go out and they're not bothered anymore.
Yeah, well, yeah. Which we have seen a few Championship teams go quite well in recent years.
So. Yeah, Millwall leaps to mind, of course, yeah. Don't they? And yeah, there's been plenty of sort of good performances. You know, we saw, you know, some teams, Bradford, for example, who are lower than that, go a long way. And we've had a lot of that, haven't we, in recent years. Hopefully we get some more of it because it doesn't harm to spice things up a bit.
It doesn't. Let's get stuck into all Championship affairs anyway. And we'll start with Charlton against Blackburn. Charlton are 13th in the Championship, Blackburn are 9th. Charlton's form, 7 without a win. But their home form is pretty good, only one defeat this season at home anyway, at the Valley. And Blackburn's form pretty poor at the moment, only one win in their last 5, no away wins since October. Charlton 11-5, the draw 11-5, and Blackburn 13-10. Is that price a little bit big about a Charlton side that are very good at home?
Yeah, I think it's a fair point, really, Mark. I mean, they're very good at home at not losing, of course, but it's about winning. If you look at their league form, for example, they've picked up just one home win since mid-September. So it's not been that they've been losing a lot, because at the same time, they've only lost one in that period. But they just draw so many home games that it's very, very difficult indeed, I think, to want to go too strongly onto them. The 11-5 draw does look awfully good to me, you know. It really does look awfully good because, like I say, all of those draws, Charlton is such a difficult side to beat. Yes, they're going to be without Oguchi Onyewu, the centre-back who, you know, was meant to really make his first start the other day, wasn't he? But had to pull out in the warm-up. There's, of course, no Henderson, Wiggins, Musa, Harrier, who's, of course, sent off the other day. He's in, I think it's his second or third game of his three-match ban. He's certainly still suspended. And Blackburn you know, they've made some moves, haven't they? Jason Steele's now officially signed for them as a first-teamer, as a full-time player, having been on loan from Middlesbrough. So they have got quality, Blackburn. We know the strikers they've got as well, Rhodes, Gestede. And that's why I have gone with Blackburn and both teams to score here. Now, Blackburn and both teams to score is 11-2. Why have I done that? Well, Charlton's home games, absolutely chock full of both teams to score. 3 of the last 5, okay, maybe not. But, you know, you extrapolate it further out, and we've seen an awful lot of them. But Blackburn's away games are where you're looking at the both teams to score as well. 7 back-to-back games away from home for Blackburn have all had that both teams to score in that. Now, if you want to play both teams to score, 3-4... just as a bet itself, looks really, really good to me. But I like Blackburn. I think they're going to be able to outfire Charlton. I really do. Listen, Charlton are a great side at home. They really are. They're just a great side generally. But for me, what you've got to look at here is a Blackburn win. I think they're going to have too much. And don't forget, the two of them met only, what, What day is it today? I can't, about 15, 16 days ago, 20th, wasn't it, of December. And it was a Jordan Rhodes brace that meant Blackburn won the game. So, you know, you've got that in your favour too. I think the 11-2 is really nice. The best bet there probably, though, is the 3-4, both teams to score. And if you want to get Jordan Rhodes, a brace, 15, 16 days ago, whatever it was, I can't do the maths, but the 20th of December, 13-10 any time for Rhodes. Brace last time, 13-10 looks good.
Yeah. We've also got Jordan Rhodes to score in a Blackburn win at 3-1, which doesn't look a bad price
either. No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. I don't know how I missed that one, but yeah, that looks good.
Okay. So Blackburn to edge that one then. Let's move on to Rotherham against Bournemouth. Rotherham sitting 19th in the Championship. Bournemouth sitting pretty at the top of it. Rotherham, pretty solid form of late, unbeaten in the last six. Only one win, though, and they take on a Bournemouth side who are absolutely flying. They've had a cup run in the Capital One Cup as well, and the defeat in that competition against Liverpool is their only defeat since September. Rotherham 14-5, the draw 5-2, and Bournemouth 19-20. Does the Bournemouth bandwagon roll on, Pete?
I think it does, yeah. I think if you look at what Eddie Howe says and what I think Eddie Howe will look at this game as, they are a side who, since he went back there, it's been all about momentum, hasn't it? He went there, they were in a dire straits in League One, he got the momentum going, he kept it going, and they got promoted. He's kept the momentum going again. And, you know, they're having £1.5 million bids for players turned down. Now, they obviously have chased a couple of Birmingham players and offered £1.5, £1.6, £1.7 for them. They are really trying to get that Premier League place. And at the moment, it's hard to see how they don't get it. 4 wins from 5, they are just looking so, so good. Rotherham, well, they've lost Tom Lawrence, of course, who they brought in on loan from Leicester. And in the same, 7-day spell, Steve Evans has been delighted to snatch a point, and he's been absolutely gutted that they only got a point against Blackpool. And I just think that they really don't have the goals, Rotherham. And again, this is an FA Cup game, so you cannot never always take too much into account by way of league form. You know, you have to look at it because it's a good indicator, I think. But generally speaking, if you're looking at goals, Rotherham don't really have them. I know they drew 2-2 recently, but I just think, even if Bournemouth have a slightly weak day, they've probably still got 2 goals in them. You look at the actual goals for and against in the league. Bournemouth have got 54. Rotherham, third bottom, just 21 goals this season. If you're offering me Bournemouth at this price, at 19-20 against anyone, I will take it. I like the headline offer, Wilson and Bournemouth at 5-2, but I'm going to play here Bournemouth -1 at 12-5. They are flying, they look strong. I think he's going to want to carry that momentum over, and I just can't see how Rotherham match them for goals.
Okay, so you expect Bournemouth to win relatively easily then, I suppose?
Yeah, I'm not saying it's going to be some kind of rout, but the minus a goal is, yeah, I think, good at 12-5.
Okay, Bournemouth then to get through in that one. Up to Yorkshire we go, West Yorkshire for Huddersfield against Reading. Huddersfield are 7-5, the draw 21-10, and Reading are also 21-10. Only a point between them in the league, not much between them in domestic form. But I suppose the interesting thing here is Steve Clarke hasn't been at Reading very long, and they did beat Norwich at the weekend. So are things turning around there?
It's still a little tricky, I think, to say definitively either way. Reading... The problem you've got with Reading is their away form, isn't it? Which all season has just bugged them wherever they've gone. They've never quite been able to properly get going, apart from, you know, a nice home win the other day. Possibly these things are starting to turn around, because like you say, they're a hard team. Look, ultimately, they're a hard team to back away from home. Huddersfield got themselves a really good win the other day, 2-1 victory as well over Bolton, who are a good side. You know, we've had a 2-2 and a 2-1 the last two Reading games. But that away form, it still worries me a little bit. It still worries me a little bit. I didn't have an outright pick in this one. I looked at it and I looked at it and I looked at it, and I just, whatever angle I came at it, I came straight away from a different angle in terms of, well, yeah, but what if, you know, that's likely to happen and this is likely to happen. So what I've done here is two things. Firstly, I've gone for overs goals. Over 2.5 is 7-10. Both of them had a 2-1 in the last game, and I think that they will both feel that this is a game they can go out there and win. They will throw everything at it, so I like that. But I've also had a little nibble on the to come from behind and win or draw. It's 15-4 for Huddersfield. It's 9-2 for Reading. Now, as long as a team scores and then the next one equalises, you are guaranteed some money straight away. It's a market that if you can play it in the right context, the right time, you might find yourself in an awful lot of profit an awful lot of the time. Of course, it's never a banker. But I quite like looking at Reading here to come from behind and win our draw at 9-2. I appreciate it's Huddersfield who did it last time around. But I just quite like the idea of Huddersfield going at this, feeling very confident, throwing everything early on at Reading, and Reading being able to get back into it. You look at Reading's, you know, last three away games, they came from behind against Norwich and won. Okay, they got obliterated by Birmingham, and they blew it against Brighton. So you might want to play the 15-4. Either way you play, I would prefer the Reading one, but I think we've got a lot of goals here, which straight away plays into your team to come from behind and win or draw. It's a little risky, but I quite like it.
Okay, yeah, interesting stuff. You can also play the match result on both teams to score at 19-5 if you're leaning towards Reading as well, yeah?
Well, yeah, absolutely. There is a small part of me that is doing the Medeski lean. I appreciate that this isn't Adam Medeski, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, all right. So Reading to edge that one then. Bolton against Wigan is the next one we're going to look at. Bolton are 6-4 here. The draw is 11-5. Wigan are 9-5. Bolton in pretty good nick, actually. They've only lost one game in their last nine. Take on Wigan, who've only won once in their last 10. Does it go with the form book here? Are you siding with Bolton?
Yeah. There's a couple of reasons. As much as I think Wigan are going to start to really properly, fully improve and make a bit of a move up the table. Firstly, Bolton's form at the Macron, which has been superb. You look at the last six, they've won five of the last six and drawn the other one. The draw, it was against Ipswich. I mean, at the Macron at the moment, they are looking pretty superb. Wigan have just come off the back of a good away win against Leeds, but at the same time, they've then gone on to lose to Sheffield Wednesday at home, and no offence to any Leeds fans, but at the moment a victory against Leeds is not particularly special. Leeds aren't a phenomenal side. I really felt that when Neil Redfern went in, they'd kick on and improve a lot. That doesn't at the moment seem to be happening. I hope it does, but at the moment it doesn't. And Bolton, for me, at 6-4, especially a great price when you think that there'll be no Callum McManaman for Wigan. He, of course, is suspended. He was sent off against Sheffield Wednesday. And, of course, Grant Holt, who now will be out for possibly even a year and a half with a cruciate injury. He's going to be a huge miss for them. And it's horrible, obviously, for any player to be out for any length of time, especially that length of time. But that, from the sounds of things, really has shaken Wigan the way that it happened. So I think 6-4 for Bolton, Mark, is about as beautiful a price as you can get this weekend.
Yeah, it's a very good price. Do you just keep it simple inside with Bolton, or is there something else?
Yeah, no, I'm more than happy with that 6-4. I mean, you could look towards maybe some of the old hands, like the likes of Gudjonsson or Heskey, depending on who starts. I mean, Craig Davies to score and Bolton to win is 4-1 as part of the headline offer. But for me, that 6-4 is good enough to just go, I'll have that and I'll move on.
Yeah, good stuff then. Bolton in that one. Next up is Barnsley against Middlesbrough. Barnsley are 7-2, the draw 5-2. Middlesbrough are 4-5. Barnsley 16th in League One, whereas Borough 4th in the Championship. And whilst Barnsley have been kind of hit and miss this season, Borough have been in good form for a while now, and only one defeat in their last 11. Does this go the way of the Championship side?
I think it does, yeah. I mean, you look at the fact that Aitor Karanka might use players like Reece Williams, for example, who's still trying to get a bit more fitness going, an important player, but he might try and use him. I mean, there's no one, Sewer, who I think is going off to join Equatorial Guinea for the African Cup of Nations, but everywhere where he's losing a player, he's bringing a player in. Karanka, for example, Fredericks will then be fit and available for the game. So you look at all of this, you look at Barnsley, not at times, I mean, despite the fact that, let's not kid ourselves, Barnsley have made not a great start to League One life, they can be dangerous. I think they were unlucky against Preston, for example. They beat Colchester, they beat Leyton Orient, but Middlesbrough are a side who've got, in my opinion, the Premier League written all over them. Their last away loss to Ipswich, fair enough. Other than that, just three away losses all season, including in a game which losing 1-0 at Leeds was very unlucky. Albert Odoma had a goal wrongly disallowed. And they just are a side, again, we talked about momentum with Eddie Howe, and I think Aitor Karanka's got exactly that going as well. So for me, yet again, it's well worth having a little look at Middlesbrough on the outrights at 4-5. Again, a very handsome price in the FA Cup. But also, I think it's worth looking at the headline offer. Patrick Bamford to score and Middlesbrough to win at 5-2. Bamford's just extended his loan deal until the end of the season from Chelsea. And he's a very, very handy striker indeed.
Yeah, celebrate that deal with a goal and a Middlesbrough win, and you'll be in profit at 5-2. But like you said, the 4-5 about Middlesbrough, it's not a bad price at all, is it, for a team that are so good away from home and verging on Premier League quality now?
Yes, yeah, absolutely, Mark. The 4-5 is exceptional.
Good. Some good bets so far in the FA Cup, hopefully this weekend. Brentford and Brighton is the next game we're going to look at. Brentford are 23-20, the draw 11-5, and Brighton 5-2. Brentford, sixth in the Championship, seem to be quietly going about their business and staying there or thereabouts. Brighton, they're 21st in the Championship, but unveiled Chris Hughton as a new manager recently. Does that have an effect here?
Yeah, I think Brighton win this game. This is kind of my bigger pick of the weekend's outrights, really. 5-2 Brighton to beat Brentford. Brentford have hit a little bit of a sticky patch, to be fair. I've seen them drop away down to sixth. I mean, they've lost three of the last five games they've played. Losing to Ipswich, I'll just write that straight off. But the thing is, Brentford's home form was what was so good, and it is still absolutely exceptional for Brentford, but that Ipswich loss tainted a little bit. So you have to bear in mind, if you are back in the 5-2, Brentford are exceptional at home. But generally speaking, three losses from five, and games where they've conceded four to Ipswich, even though they beat Cardiff, conceded two against them, lost 2-1 at Molineux, 2-1 at Huddersfield as well. And despite the fact that last time Chris Hughton took over, well, I said not last time, when Chris Hughton took over at Norwich, for example, they got obliterated in his first game 5-0. His next two games, Arsenal and Manchester United, they beat both of them. So this is the thing. I think early on he can be very, very good at this kind of stuff, Chris Hughton, despite that 5-0 I mentioned a moment ago, because what he talks about, what he likes in training is discipline, it's focus, it's finding the cutting edge. And despite the fact they've lost a lot of the loan players, Bennett, Bent, for example, they've lost a lot of the loan players that they did have in. Chris Hughton's a bit of a magic man at times, I think. I think he's a great manager. And what he is most of all is intensely likeable. When he left Newcastle, Kevin Nolan came out and said, often when a manager goes, there'll be at least one or two players who are glad to see the back of him. Not Chris. Everyone, every member of staff, every fan really liked Chris Hughton. And it just felt a little bit at Brighton like they didn't have the connection to Sammy Herpy or the players that they maybe needed to play for him. With Chris Hughton, believe me, I've actually met and interviewed Chris Hughton an awful lot. I'd play for him. If someone came to me and said, Pete, can you be a reporter for Chris, just for literally just Chris Hughton's life, I'd do it. For £5 a year. He's that likeable. He's that likeable a guy. And I think that's a big, big thing. And also for him, this is a game where he knows that if they lose it, they're not moving from 21st in the league. And also, it's maybe not that big a deal if they do lose it. Now, on one side, you'll go, well, then, therefore, Brentford, surely. But I think, for me, the lack of pressure plays into Brighton's hands here. Brentford will be just gagging to get a bit more form, a bit more momentum going again. Brighton will know that a win here, that's great for them. Chris Hughton can get a big win under his belt, and also Brentford have conceded those goals. My favourite bet of all, having just told you the goals that Brentford are scoring and conceding, my favourite bet of all is the over 2.5 goals. No real surprise for me on that one. 19-20 the price. And if you want to play the draw no bet, I mean, it's my favourite market that William Hill offer by a country mile. I love the value to safety ratio it gives you. 6-4 Brighton draw no bet is probably the best bet, but I think Brighton win it.
Okay, interesting stuff. Brighton to win that. Also slightly worrying how much you like Chris Hughton there.
Maybe you leave him alone.
Let's move on to the final game we're going to look at in this week's, FA Cup third round. We finish off with Wolves against, Wolves' trip to Fulham. Fulham are 6-4, the draw is 11-5, and Wolves are 9-5. Wolves had a little bit of a wobble, didn't they? But they seem to have rectified that far without a defeat now. How do you see it going? Because Fulham are very hit and miss at the best of times.
Yeah, I think that this is a game that Fulham really will possibly just eject. This is all conjecture, isn't it? Whenever you or me or any punter is sitting there going, I don't think that this club really wants it, maybe they do. Or on occasions where we sit there and go, I'll tell you what, they'll fancy themselves today. The players might be saying, listen, we'll try and win if we can, but if we can't, no big deal, we'll move on and try and kick on in the Championship. For Fulham, they are so, so nervous about Premier League survival. They've got to stay in the Premier League. And I think, for me, Kit Simons' focus will entirely be on that. For Wolves...
Championship.
What did I say?
Premier League.
Correct. Well done. It was a test. Wolves, you know, eighth in the league. They could literally kick on and do very well and possibly challenge for that playoff place. Three wins from four. They drew against Brighton, lost against Bournemouth, fair enough, but have picked themselves some very, very good wins up along the way. And I thought that Fulham really weren't the side they should have been, certainly in terms of scoring goals against Brighton when they lost 2-0 against Brighton. I watched that game and was really not convinced. Finally, I know it was under a different manager, I know it was a different time, but Wolves have already been to Fulham this season. They got that narrow 1-0 victory there too. For me, again, there is one bet here, Mark. The outright for me looks absolutely superb on Wolves. 9-5. I said that 5-2 for Brighton was maybe the biggest price, but I'll tell you what, this 9-5 is a fat, delicious price for me. Play the draw, no bet. And also, it's worth having a little look at Sacco to score as well. He got the winner the last time the two teams met. And despite Dicko being the part of the headline offer, I like Bakary Sacco anytime at 19-10.
Okay, good stuff. Some big prices in there this week, Pete. What would be your best bet? Would it be the Wigan match?
Well, the problem I've got is that this week I've received quite a bit of stick and some nice support as well on Twitter following the publication of the current NAP standings, where having gone plus 70 earlier in the season, I'm now having my backside handed to me by everyone else.
Yeah.
So part of me wants to go, tell you what, take a big price, take a leap, narrow it down, chip it down, get in there and catch the incredibly cocky Lee Phelps, and to be fair, the very pleasant Sam Ashu, back up. But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to bet on what I think is the best bet of the week, because that's the whole point of this. And I might be wrong, and I might be right, but I think, personally speaking, that Middlesbrough at 4-5 to beat Barnsley are the best bet of the whole FA Cup games we've spoken about there. 4-5 is phenomenal. They're a great side. They've got a very deep squad. And Barnsley, who haven't done particularly well in League One, who I've seen this season and I'm not massively impressed by, I think that their focus might be elsewhere. I think 4-5 Middlesbrough is a great price.
Okay, Middlesbrough then, best bet of the FA Cup third round involving the All Championship encounters. Thank you very much, Pete. Good luck.
Thank you very much, Mark.
And enjoy this weekend.
You as well, Paul.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.